Well, you might realize I have a little bit of an exhaustion cold, I guess you could say. I don't know, but it's something there, right? Oh, man. It was a great week, a wonderful week for us over at camp, for family camp. I was so blessed, and I know our family was, and our kids just absolutely loved it. Ezra called it her workplace. She would go to work when she'd go to kids' church. So she would, she'd say, "Dad, Mom, I got to go to work, so drop me off at my work," which is across the hall, the street there for us. And so she would go and do that, and just had a wonderful, wonderful time. We were deeply blessed by the worship and by the speaker for the week. I mean, I can't oversell how truly amazing he was. We were just absolutely floored every night. I know a few of you got to come out on Friday, and you all worshiped with us and saw Pastor Hani. Hani Salah Est Malak was our speaker, and Hani is a church planter in northern Iraq. You heard that right. Yes, he plants Christian churches, Free Methodist churches in northern Iraq. He works for Impact Middle East. This year for Freedom Sunday, if you don't know, we are going to be giving money to Hani and Impact Middle East. All of them have joined together to give to him and his ministry of taking care of refugees. His heart is to welcome those who are running from ISIS, really. They are women who have been raped and abused by ISIS, and he welcomes them into his church and into his community, and just absolutely gets them out of those situations, out of those circumstances, and has truly moving, wonderful stuff that has been going on. And my heart just breaks for all that we had to hear as well of the stories of how Hani has been ministering and teaching and leading people and discipling others. And I'm so glad we're going to get to be a part of that and doing whatever we can to help those who are fleeing and refugees and caring for those people who are outsiders there and are dealing with lots of struggling issues. This weekend, Friday and Saturday, if you didn't know, at our campground, at Wabash Campground for the Free Methodist Church, we are welcoming our African immigrants. We have an African immigrant ministry, which actually is a lot of our refugee friends from Africa who are coming here to America. We actually have planted a church in Indianapolis. It drew from John Wesley Free Methodist Church, and now we have a church plant of African immigrants in Indianapolis, Indiana. And so we on Friday and Saturday, they're going to be having a big welcome home conference at our church camp. And just a wonderful thing. If you want to look about it, different people have shared information about it. You can find it on Facebook, and I may send out an email about it for you all this week too. But I know our superintendent John Lane is a big part of it, and so he's one of the speakers for them. We have a couple different pastors. Our pastor, who's the African immigrant pastor, Isaac Bujambi, is actually going to be speaking as well as another superintendent in the Free Methodist Church. And I'm just so blessed and encouraged to hear about how our Free Methodist churches are reaching out to the hurting, the broken, the oppressed, and calling all those who are outsiders to be a part of the insiders. And this is the second year we've actually done this, a welcome home for our African immigrants. And they had, oh man, hundreds and hundreds of African immigrants at our campground last year. And so it's just truly wonderful. I'm excited. Jess and I will be going down and seeing all of that too and worshiping with our African brothers and sisters there too. So if you are free and you would like to join, you can join us as well and go down there this weekend and see all that God is doing. And I'm so, so grateful and thankful. I wanted to kind of give that information to you before I I got going today because I had very little time, I feel like, to put together what I want to share this week, just because of all of the craziness that was going on around us and the whole week, and wanted to try to find time and think about what I want to share from this text today. And I think it all fits in with that stuff, with what the Free Methodist Church is doing through the Set Free movement and Pastor Hani, who is in Iraq, and all that's going on in Impact Middle East and our African immigrant friends. And so I'm truly blessed and encouraged and thankful that we have a group of people who want to say we're on board with that, and we are striving to reach out to set people free, that people don't need to be locked up in cages any longer, that we need to work to welcome people and open up those doors and to set people free. And that is just the message of the gospel. It's the message Jesus said he was here to do, to set the captives free, to release the oppressed, to welcome those who are strangers into our midst. And I just think that is, if you're going to connect with Jesus, what I see is you have to be able to connect with those who are broken, who are oppressed, the poor, the needy. And that's one of the big reasons I became a Free Methodist, because of our heart to say this has been from our founding, that we care about the poor, the refugee, the oppressed, those people all around us. And so I was thinking about it in light of this text that we have before us, this text that Jesus shares about being a disciple of his. Because if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, I guess I kind of put it in terms of a recipe today. I wanted to put a little dash of this, a little dash of that. What makes a disciple? What is it that we do to be a disciple? What is it that forms us into a disciple? And there's a few things I think Jesus puts in that recipe and says, this is what you have to be willing to do. This is the type of person you need to be. Our text today comes from Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 25. If you've got your Bibles, we'll go from 25 down through verse 35. I just want to read it to us, and then we'll keep getting going here, okay? Luke chapter 14, Luke 14, starting of verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. I like that. We've been doing the travel talk, right? We've been, anytime Jesus is on a journey and people are with him, he has something to say and something to share with them. And so that's what we've been looking at a lot lately. This is one of those moments. A large crowd is following him on this journey. And turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Now, this is an interesting text, right? Jesus sharing quite a bit of difficult things a little bit here for people. His heart to start out by saying you need to hate your brother and your mother and your father and your sister and your aunt and uncle and all the others. If you don't do that more than you like love Jesus, then this is you are not able to be my disciple. That first ingredient, I guess you could say, of what Jesus throws into the pot of making disciples is one that says you will have your single allegiance on Jesus. Now, when I talk about hate, that word actually has a different connotation, especially if you think about the Old Testament, the times those are mentioned, the things Jesus is saying here. He's not actually telling you that you need to hate somebody. That's not what he's saying here. It's actually a picture of allegiance, of preference. In the Hebrew Bible, actually, if you went all the way back to the book of Genesis and you looked at the story of Jacob, you remember Jacob and his story? It said Jacob loved Rachel, but Leah he hated. You know that? It wasn't that he hated Leah. Obviously, he didn't hate her because he was married to her, he loved her, he cared for her, and they had many children together. But what it was there was a preference. There was an idea of saying, well, I love Rachel more than I love Leah. So the Bible uses that kind of language. And so Jesus is just talking about preferential attitude, your first allegiance. That your first allegiance must be to Jesus. If it is not, you cannot be his disciple. Even if this means you put good things like your family and your friends and people in that category, Jesus says you cannot love them more than you love me. Because if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to walk with me, if you're going to be transformed by me, you're going to live for me, you have to be somebody who's willing to forsake all others. And you're willing to say yes to Jesus. You are my first allegiance and my only focus. Because all the other stuff will come into play. I've talked to you a little bit about that. Jesus actually has a similar phrase in Luke chapter 12. If you went back just a little bit, like one page for me, in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, it starts out this. Jesus says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." So Jesus is saying here that because of what his message is, because of how absolutely overwhelming it is, that you have to put him in the first bit of the pot, the first ingredient to being a disciple, that you're going to make a lot of people upset. You're going to upset your own family members because they're going to say, no, you should care about me first. You should care about what our needs are right here in this group. It should be our family first, and then maybe, you know, if we have room, we can throw Jesus in the pot. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, no, I've come to be your one allegiance. That everything rises and falls with him. That you're focused on him. The first ingredient is your primary and single allegiance is to Jesus. This is another big thing of a Free Methodist, by the way. A Free Methodist is free of anything that distracts our lives from a relationship with Jesus. Anything in our lives that distract us from a relationship with Jesus, we are free of. That's what makes us Free Methodists. We put Jesus in the pot first. We focus on him first. And everything rises and falls with him. And so we realize this is what it takes to be a disciple. That first ingredient. We're not going to belong to other secret clubs, secret societies, things that pull our allegiance in other ways. We're not gonna worship our nation, but celebrate Jesus, and we're going to worship our Father in heaven. That's gonna be our number one allegiance. And so that's where it really rises and falls about being a disciple. Do you love Jesus more than you love your family? Do you love Jesus more than you love your country? Because if you don't, if other things are in the way, do you love Jesus more than you love your possessions, the things that you have, the house that you live in, the car that you drive, if any of these things cloud your view of a relationship with Jesus, then you must remove them. A lot of times when we think about what we're going to pack and what we're going to put on this in this journey, it takes a choice of saying, well, we're going to put this in there and we're going to take this out. We don't need this because this isn't really necessary. You don't really have to have that. If I was packing my bags, a lot of times it would be bad. I probably would barely put enough clothes in there. I'd want to put all my good technology things, right? And my wife would see me when we got to our campground, and she would be like, you packed this, didn't you? You picked the wrong things. You see, the important thing is you need to put the things that matter first in there. And then if you have any other room, you can put the other things in there. They're not bad things. They're just not necessities. You see what I'm talking about? None of these things are bad. Your family's not bad. Your country's not bad. Your life, you know, the things that you have are not inherently bad. It's just if they're blocking your relationship with Jesus, if they're clouding your view of following him, that's when they get to be bad. If your allegiance isn't fully on him. This language of Jesus, this preferential, full allegiance, discipleship language, even to a point of division, even to a point of pulling things apart. And after he talks about all the other things, like the things that are outside, I guess that you could say, like your family, your land, your house, your possessions, things like that that are clouding your view. I think what he also wants to get to is that next piece of the recipe, your own selfishness, your own self-interest, your own allegiance of yourself, I guess you could say. Because that's why he talks about denying yourself and taking up your cross and following him. That's what Jesus' heart is. So not to say, oh, it's okay that you lift yourself up higher than even Jesus, that you think highly of yourself and you don't think highly of Jesus. Jesus wants to eliminate that too. It's not enough just to be clouded by other things, your family and other possessions, things like that, but I want you to dive deep down into your own heart. What is it that you need to remove from your own heart to make room for Jesus? What is it that's blocking your way with a relationship with Jesus? And that's really what he's getting to. He's wanting us to recognize when you take up your cross and you follow him, whoever does not carry their cross cannot be my disciple. Jesus makes it pretty clear. If you want to be my disciple, you carry your cross. You're willing to give up of your own life. You recognize that it's not about me. It's not about my own self-indulgence. It's not about the things that I want and the things that I want to put in the recipe. It's about what Jesus puts in the recipe. Self-sacrifice rather than self-indulgence. It's hard for us to learn. We live in a world that has so much, and we ourselves have so much, and it's easy to just self-indulge in things, but what Jesus calls us to is a life that says we want to be free of that. We want to be free of that. We want to be a disciple of Jesus, and that requires our allegiance first and foremost on him. It requires us to be willing to give up of our own lives, our own hearts, and our own souls for him and for others. That recipe. Then Jesus gives a couple stories. In the midst of talking about the recipe of a disciple, he tells two different stories. One is about a person who's a landowner who's going to build a big tower. He tells a story about this guy who's wanting to build a tower, and as he's building it, he realizes, oh, I don't have enough money or things to get this job done, so I guess I messed things up. It's kind of like me packing my bags. I guess I don't have enough clothes to last me the week. I should have sat down and planned it out. Or the king who is ready to go off to war and he realizes, oh, I've got 10,000 men. That other group has 20,000. This is not a good shape. So while they're a long way off, I like that Jesus says that, while that enemy is a long way away, you send a delegate over there to go and administer peace. How can we have peace amongst us? Because you know this is not going to end well. This is not going to be good. And so you say, this is what I've got to recognize. I've got to plan ahead. I've got to figure out, is Jesus really my Lord? Is he really the number one thing in my life? Is he really what matters to me? Am I really planning ahead? Or am I thinking a lot about what would make me happy? What would satisfy my desires? What does it take to make everybody else around me feel better? Jesus' message here about the cost of discipleship is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer would talk about when he said, it's not about cheap grace. The grace is not cheap, that it requires something of us, that this cost of discipleship means that we put in some certain ingredients, we mix them all up together, and it requires us to think about what's going on in our own heart and soul. What needs to change? What needs to work in it? These two stories, Jesus reflects and thinks about why the importance of having our allegiance only on Christ, why it matters to have a single focus. Don't forget, he's talking to a large crowd when he's talking about this. So when he says these things, when he talks about hating your mother and father, like, and loving Jesus and, you know, taking up your cross, and you have to think that maybe a bunch of those people in that large crowd were probably a little bit like, I don't know if I want to follow this guy anymore. Don't you think? It sounds difficult. It sounds like a tough drive, a tough thing to go down. To be a disciple might require something difficult of myself. And I would say, well, duh. I don't know if that's good anymore. Yeah, Jesus has said it over and over again that being a disciple of Jesus is not a single moment where you can come to church on Sunday morning and say, well, okay, all's well. I went to church for an hour and a half, and now I can check mark that box and I can go home and I can live my normal life, do whatever I want to do. I gave Jesus that 2 hours of my day, of my week. And Jesus wants your whole self. He wants you to have him be the Lord of your life, to let him transform you, to let him work in your heart. And so we can't be those people who are just on the fence. That's why what Jesus says about salt at the end of that, you got to add salt to your recipe, don't you? That's why when Jesus talks about salt, he says, if salt is a good thing, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Jesus' picture of salt here. What good is it if it's just not salty? If it doesn't have any seasoning? It's not worth anything. You might as well just throw it out. It's not even good enough for the manure pile. So what Jesus is wanting you to see is the importance of being, to have good taste, to taste and see that the Lord is good, and to know that being a disciple of Jesus requires you to season things, to bring about something that is making an impact, that is not just worthless, non-salty salt, but that you are adding an ingredient of yourself. You're putting in that life change, that work in your own heart, that you're not letting it be a complacent, a stale, not moving Christianity. It's a difference between a river and a pond. After a long time, the pond is just sitting there still, nothing changing, nothing doing anything to it. It's just sitting there. A river is constantly moving, constantly working, constantly doing things. There's water constantly flowing through and out, back and forth. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be a river. I want you to move. I want you to do. I want you to be transformed. I want you to have the river of life flowing through you. I don't want you to be a stale, sitting there, doing nothing Christian. Because to be a disciple of Jesus means I get up, I forsake all the things that are blocking my way, take my cross, and I follow him. I walk with him. That's Jesus' heart for us, his disciples. I was thinking about Pastor Hani and the ministry that he's doing and the things that are happening. That heart to say, I want to reach out and make an impact on my community, to minister to people who sometimes they don't even let you in or come near you, welcome you. But to say, how can I serve in darkness? It requires something of us. It requires us to be a disciple of his, to trust in Jesus, to walk with him, to live for him. Is it always easy? No. But is it always worth it? Yes. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy and your wonderful love for us, Father. We cry out to you and pray that you will help us to be full-fledged disciples, fully on fire for you, fully salty, to make a difference, to make an impact, to spread some seasoning to others. We thank you for that goodness and the grace that you offer to us. That Father, if there are things in our lives that we need to unpack, we need to get it out of our bags. We've got to make room. We've got to fill it up with you. Father, you would help us to do so. God, if we are thinking about ourselves and how to protect ourselves and how to self-indulge, Father, we just ask that you would help us to remove that as well and to thank you for being our Lord, King, and Savior. Father, help us to keep our eyes fixed upon you, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.